words now that come to us from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take
the path that sinners tread, or sit at the feet of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And hear these words that come to us from the sixth chapter of Luke's gospel. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and when they revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors."
Okay, so when you're listening to that scripture passage, the gospel lesson that Pastor Lynn just read, it might have sounded a bit familiar. Yeah, that's right. It is the Beatitudes. But I thought, Pastor Dennis, that the Beatitudes are in the fifth chapter of Matthew. Well, yeah, they are. But although also these are the Beatitudes that are found in the Gospel of Luke. The thing is that this is the sixth Sunday of after Epiphany, and that doesn't happen very often, that there's six Sundays after of Epiphany. If you have a lectionary preacher, like Linda and I tend to preach from lectionary, that this passage doesn't come up very often. So we don't get to hear this version of the Beatitudes. Well, there certainly are differences between these two lessons and the Beatitudes of Jesus. Matthew, it is called the Sermon on the Mount. Luke, it is called the Sermon on the Plain. In Matthew, we have all blessings. And in Luke, we have blessings and woes. Now, I would remind you that there are four Gospels, three of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are known as the Synoptic Gospels. And the Synoptic means basically seeing through the same or similar eye. And so there are some differences and there are some things that are similar. Now, those Gospels, there are some things that are unique to each of the Gospels. There are some things that are in common between all three of them. And there are some things, some passages that are in common between Luke and Matthew. So we're looking at Luke and Matthew's Beatitudes. Reverend Dr. Cheryl Lindsay, Minister of Worship and Theology of the United Church of Christ, wrote this. She said, Luke begins with Jesus coming down and taking his position on the same level of his disciples. Now, this account does not reflect a preacher exalted on an elevated pulpit or a mountain, but a wise companion speaking among those attracted to his message and his ministry and the hope that he brings. Now, Luke's intentions and audience are different from Matthew's, and that can explain the difference in presentation and emphasis. Luke's Jesus is a redeemer as much as a Messiah, and Luke's Jesus fulfills prophecy, but not as a conquering sovereign. Just as the wise persons approach Jesus with lavish and precious gifts upon their entry into his entry into the world in Matthew's gospel, the shepherds greet Jesus after his birth, and their offering is a witness to the world that Christ is now here among us. Matthew's genealogy emphasizes the connection to the Davidic dynasty, while Luke's highlights that Jesus is the Son of Man, the new Adam, the new human being, who comes not to a singular people, but to all creation as restorer and recreator. Luke emphasizes the humility of Jesus, both in compassion and circumstances. Thank you, Cheryl. So let me remind you about the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew. Jesus stands on the hill and begins to preach. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, keep that in mind, and now listen again to the Luke passage. The followers gather to hear Jesus and to be healed, and Jesus first heals people and then steps upon the flat space and says, Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Now, besides the structural differences and the fact that Luke has both blessings and woes, did you hear the subtle difference? Luke seems, at least to me, to be more in the present as he stands on the flat ground among the crowd. You who are hungry now, you who weep now, blessed are you when people hate you, and rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Jesus is also aware that that those who are gathered are not just the poor and the outcast, that there is a diversity in the crowd. So Jesus flips everything over, says, Woe to you who are rich, And woe to you who are full now, and woe to you who are laughing now, and woe to you when people speak well of you. You see, to be hungry, to the poor and the hungry and the downtrodden, to those who are looked down upon or forgotten, in Luke, Jesus' message is, I am here. God is here. Life will be better if you rely on God. Jesus promises blessings. Keith Wagner writes, the problem with our society is that we don't understand the power nor the dynamics of giving a blessing. We underestimate its power, and we are not in the habit of giving empathy. Few people are tuned in to your feelings of rejection. Most ignore them completely. Many simply stuff them in, hoping that they will go away. We are a people that want to fix or problem solve. We want answers and a rational explanation for everything that happens. Or we believe that hard work and discipline will make everything turn out right. Do you think that the skier that crashed on the ski slope is not disciplined? Did Michaela Schifrin deserve to slip and fall because she didn't work hard enough? Wagner goes on to say, I heard a story this past week that illustrates how our society treats personal rejection. A man with a critical illness was lying in a hospital bed, desperately wanting some words of encouragement. A nurse said to him, you just need to work harder. This man had undergone multiple surgeries and is critically ill, and what he needed was a blessing. And I said, Jesus then flips the message from the blessings to the woes and sets forth the challenge. Leith Anderson, a pastor, shared this experience. He says, a boy, he grew up outside New York City and was an avid old Brooklyn Dodgers fan. Now, one day, his father took him to the World Series game between the Dodgers and the Yankees. A big deal, Subway, you know. He was so excited that he just knew the Dodgers would trounce those Yankees. Well, unfortunately, the Dodgers never got on base, as excitement was shattered. Well, years later, he was engrossed in a conversation with a man who was a walking sports almanac. And Leith told him about the first major league game he attended and added, it was such a disappointment. I was a Dodgers fan and the Dodgers never got on base. And the man said, you were there? You were at the game when Don Larsen pitched the first perfect game in all of World Series history? And Leith replied, yeah, but we lost. He then realized that he had been so caught up in his team's defeat that he missed out on the fact that he was a witness to a far greater page of history. Leith continues, he says, let me ask you a question. What's going on down the street in our ballpark? We may be so caught up in the beauty and the eloquence of the sermon or the friends who sit around us that we miss out on the far greater page in the story of our Christianity. Look around you. What is it that is happening in our community? What is it that is happening down the street at our neighbor's house? What's happening down at the playground? Is God pitching a perfect game in the World Series of our neighborhood, and we simply are missing out because we are invested in our own team? Jesus stood on the plain among the people, disciples and strangers alike. He healed the sick and he taught. He stood among the hungry and the poor and despised, and he blessed them. He stood among the rich and the affluent and the entitled, and he warned them, and in so doing also challenged them. And Jesus warns us and challenges us. How can we be a blessing to others? How can we use our blessings so others might be blessed? How can we be more aware of what is happening on our block, in our neighborhood? How can we expand our reach as we stand with Jesus on the plain in the midst of a diverse community? And how do we live our faith so our neighbors know that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Amen.